Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
So thankful for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thankful for Brother Tommy. Man, Satan's fought me all week since you've called me. I told my wife, I said, even today, I said, I have no idea where we're going. I've read here, I've read there. It's just nothing just seems right. Nothing feels right. And I was sitting at home, and I was off by myself, and he said, just open this up and read this a minute. Just see what you think about this. Just read this. And I opened it, and I read it, and I kind of seen it in a different light that I'd never seen it before, you know. And so I can't do nothing here without the Lord now. So I don't care if you ever know who I am or know anything about me. Just know who the Lord is. He said, and if there's anything come out of this night, it'll be all about the Lord. It'll be the Lord will have to do it. Y'all know me. If I don't talk, I don't say a whole lot. But if the Lord, whatever the Lord wants here tonight, it's what I want. We're going to be, like I said, it's pretty familiar scripture. It's just chapter 16 of the book of Acts, if you will. And we'll start reading in verse 14. And it said, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met with us and brought her masters much gain, soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way unto salvation. And they did this many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her, of that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers, and brought them unto the magistracy, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. You can be seated. And I want to think, the thought that I had tonight when I was reading this was, that's the world that we live in now. They're okay with us being Christians. They're okay with us coming to church. They're okay with us praising God. But when we start getting in their business, when we start telling them that they need to live a certain way, that we need to live a certain way, that this sin is not acceptable, that it's not okay for this sin to take place, that's when they start getting mad at us. That's when they start stepping up against us, because they say, hey, you're interfering with things that I want. You're interfering with the world. You're interfering with me making money. You're interfering with the LGBT community. You're standing up and saying these things. Yeah. You're hurting our community. You're hurting our business. You're hurting ourselves. You're hurting the divorce market. When we tell you that you're not supposed to be divorced, or when you're not supposed to give in to marriage, we're hurting these things when we stand up and preach these words of God to everybody, that what God tells us is the truth. And we believe these things, and so it's our duty, it's our responsibility to tell these things, because of the world that we live in. They don't want to hear these things anymore, and it's getting to the point where, and we may very well see that in our churches in the near future, where we're going to be criticized, where we're going to be locked up, where we're going to be published, or we're going to be constrained for what we believe in and how we believe. And it's up to us to keep going, to keep pushing that foot forward. And that may be why it's just a small number of us here tonight. That, you know, I want to say that, you know, you get to your churches on Wednesday and you really get in and see what the backbone of your church really is, what you really like, what your people are really concerned about. You know, and our biggest concern here tonight should be about Jesus. It should be doing whatever we need to do to the world out there. It don't matter where I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm going home to be with the Lord no matter what happens to me. But there's a world out there that's looking for everything. They're looking to everything, trying to fill a void in their heart with everything that they could possibly feel. There's only one thing that's going to fill it. But how are they going to know that if we let this world tell them that it's okay to feel this way, it's okay to believe this way, it's okay for us to do these things, it's okay for all these things to take place. But it's when you stand up and say, no, this is not right. If when we stand up and say, hey, we have to believe a certain way, and I'm not saying that everyone, there's probably, if you set every one of us down here tonight, one-on-one conversation, I guarantee you there'd be some differences. There'd be some things that I didn't agree with, that you didn't agree with, and that we'd all, you know, be differences that we would all have. But our main focus as a church, we are to be is Jesus Christ. We are to be worship. We are to be concerned about getting others to Him. Be concerned about our family that's out here lost and dying in a world that don't know who Jesus is, that they claim to have salvation. And that's the world that we live in today. You don't run into anybody that's lost anymore. You don't hardly see anybody that's lost anymore. Everybody's good to go. Everybody's ready to meet Jesus. But yet, they can go out here and live a hellish life Monday through Saturday. And as long as they come to church on Sunday morning, they'll be okay. And that's the world that we live in. And that's what we're being taught. That's what the world's being taught. Is, hey, it's okay for us to do these things. It's okay for us to live this hellish life. It's okay for us to go out here and give in to sin every now and then. It's not okay for us to live that way. Just like it wasn't okay. And I say that, you know, Paul probably is like a lot of us, I'd say. He probably tried his best, Tommy, to keep his mouth shut in this situation. He probably didn't want to say nothing. He probably didn't want to disturb the crowd. He probably had a thought in his mind, if I speak up and tell this possessed lady, the demon, to come out of this lady, they're going to come against me. And he probably knew that. And that's what we have to realize is they're probably going to come against us one day. It's probably sooner than later they're going to come against us. But we have to be willing. And it's not always about what we want to do. It's not always about what Dustin wants. It's not always about what Tommy wants or what Justin wants. You know, it's always about what God wants. If we put God at the forefront of all these things and let God lead us, He will take care of us. And we'll read that here in a few minutes. But He will make a way for us. He will make a way of escape for us. You know, and they probably... But we look at the world that we live in now, and a lot of us, we're ashamed. We're ashamed to stand up and say what's right and what's wrong. Why? Because we don't want the conflict. We don't want to be bad. We don't want to be bad-mouthed. We want to be somebody's friend. You know, and it's like Justin said, you know, maybe him opening his ministry in the garage, maybe he can reach a certain group of people that I could never reach. He can maybe reach a group of people that Tommy will never reach. We all have to be willing to do what God would have us to be doing at that time. We never know who's going to come our way, when they're going to come our way, and what God has planned for them. It don't take somebody being sitting in the church house. Now, they have to hear the Word of God, and there has to be a man sitting, there has to be preaching, or God has to draw on a heart for them to be saved. But it don't have to be inside these four walls. You could very well see somebody get saved in that garage. We could very well see somebody get saved at work, and I've seen that. I've seen a guy get saved in a concrete room at work at one point in time. He was down there by himself and found a rock and said, I don't have that rock to stand on. You know, so it don't take being in church to be saved, but you have to be ready and be willing to be what God would have you to be anywhere that we're at. Not just in the church. We often put on a show Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night in here and claim that we're ready to go and claim that we live the most godly life. But it's how we live out there is what really matters. It's how we live out there. We should come here. We as Christian people, if we're Christians, we should come here looking to worship God. Amen. We should come here looking to lift His name up and be ready to worship Him and praise Him like we never have before. The last service we went through shouldn't have been good enough because it wasn't good enough. We should always want to give God more. We should always want to do more for Him. But we don't know what it is. And I'll say me, I don't know what it is. I get content in myself and I'm content with sitting there on the pew and listening to what the preacher has to say. Or I'm content in not saying something, not speaking up at work when God gives you something to say to somebody. Oh me, I'm guilty of that. But if Paul and Silas had done that right here, we'll read the rest of the story here in a minute, but the whole outcome would have been completely different. If they would have just kept their mouth shut and walked on with them and let that lady run her mouth or let the demon run his mouth and say whatever he wanted to, they would have never threw them in jail. They would have never cast them. They never would have bound them up and said, and they said, they teach these customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Again, that's where we are today. That's where we are in our world. We're not, what we teach, what we preach, what goes on in your Sunday school classes, what goes on in behind the pulpit is not lawful for the world out there anymore. They don't want to hear it because they're so intrigued with sin that they don't even know what this is about. You know, they think that they have everything that they want. And I was that way. I can say that from experience. I was that way. I was out there. I had what I thought that I wanted. I had a hold of the world by the tail. I was doing this and doing that and having the most fun that I thought that I had ever had. But then all it took was one day. And I knew that I was lost. I knew for a month. I never really thought about this till a couple of weeks ago. In revival, we was talking about it. You know, I knew that I was lost. This may not, but August 31st, I knew that I was lost. And I was lost for a month. scared to death to close my eyes. Scared to death to drive to work. Scared to death to do anything because I knew if something happened to me that I was gone, that I was going to hell. I was going to bust it wide open. And that was where I had been in church enough to know that it ain't going to be no party like everybody tries to tell you. It ain't going to be a good time. There ain't going to be no parties. There ain't going to be friends hanging out down there. It's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I knew that that was where I was headed. And it scared me so much that I even quit going to church. I quit for a month, and that's a shameful thing for me to say, but I did. Instead of running to God, I ran away from Him because I was scared to death. I knew what was about to happen to me.
Yeah.
Well, then God finally gave me another opportunity. A month later, September 28, 2014, was the day. I can take you to the place. I can tell you almost the time. It was probably the 10:30, 11 o'clock hour. I was sitting on the third or fourth pew back. And didn't know what to do. My heart was beating out of my chest. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to make a mistake. Because I had done that before. I had claimed salvation before. And claimed that I could live any hellish way that I wanted to. And I was okay. And I sat there and I was watching as the preacher was preaching. And they were singing a song. And I watched Bill step out from around the pulpit. And I made eye contact with him. And I knew. I thought, oh man, he's coming to me. He's coming to me. And I couldn't do nothing. I was speechless. I just sat there. And he came over there and he hugged me. That's all he had to do was just hug me. And before I could let him go, I grabbed him by the back of the neck and I pulled him back closer to me. And I said, Bill, how do you know? How do you know when it's your time to go? And I don't want to get it wrong again. I said, but how do you know? He said, son, if you've got to ask me, you already know the answer to that question. And so that day, I got up and I got saved that day. Yeah. I believe that the moment that I stood up and took my first step toward the altar, I believe that He met me there and He saved me there. I don't think I had to come up here and say a bunch of words. I believe that He knew in my heart what I needed right then. And that's the world that we live in. They don't know what they need right now. I didn't know what I needed right then. So we have to be willing to do whatever God puts before us. If it's go hug somebody in a service, if it's call somebody during the week, tell them, hey buddy, I missed you at church. Yeah. I love you. I mean, thinking about you, or if it's hug them, or whatever it is that God puts on your heart to do to somebody, do it.
Right.
Do it with everything that God gives you, because that's what He needs. That might be the door that He opens for somebody to see His love. And that's all it takes. All you can do is just open it a little bit, like you said, Justin. All it takes is just a little bit of love. Just a little bit of love to show somebody, and they notice it. Because we live in a world that's full of hate, that's full of violence, that's full of hatred, and they don't want to love nobody. But if you show them the first little bit of love, the first thing they're going to think, there's something different about this person. There's something different about this lady. There's something different about this man. Wonder what that is. And so you get their interest. Not that it's anything that we can do. We can't do nothing. We have to just be a willing vessel. But if we will do what God is bidding us to do His works, He's got a mighty, wonderful thing in store for a lot of people. And that's what we have to do, is we have to not be ashamed to stand up for Him.
Amen.
Even though times are going to get hard, even though things are going to get rough, even though we're going to be bad-mouthed, and none of us like that, none of us want to be talked about. You know, we all want everybody to like us. You know, us Christian people are no different than the rest of the world. We don't want enemies. We don't want somebody to talk bad about us behind our back. But when it comes to God, we shouldn't worry about that. If they talk bad about us for standing up for God, then so let them. Let them do it. But let God will divide all that out in the end. And if we do our part, they'll come back someday and say, hey, I'm sorry for the way that I treated you. I'm sorry for the things that I said against you. When all you were really doing was trying to show me a way to Jesus. Was trying to show me something. And it said, and we'll keep reading here in verse 22. It said, and the multitude rose up together against them. And their magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet with stocks. You think of that jailer right there. You think of the man. He had no idea what was coming his way. No idea that his life was about to change forever. Just like I knew that day, September 28, 2014, I didn't know that day that my life would change forever. I knew that God had been working on me, and I knew that God was drawing at me. But after he saved me, there was a whole different change made. I'm a whole new creature than I used to be.
Amen.
I no longer have to do the things that I used to do to get satisfied, to have fun.
Right.
It is fun for me to be in the house of God. It was fun for me to be in an 18-night revival. You know, it was fun for me to do those things. It's fun for me to be where God's people are.
Yeah.
But that man had no idea what was sitting before him. He had, and I think about this, Satan thought, probably thought right there, all right, I've got it. I locked it up. I shut Paul and Silas down. They're going to be so burdened. They're going to be so downtrodden that they're sitting in prison right now. Their gospel ain't going out. The word of God ain't going out. They're not telling anybody about Jesus. That's probably what he thought. That's really what he thought there. He thought, just like he thought when Jesus died, he thought, I conquered it. I conquered that grave. But little did he know, God already had a backup plan. God already had a plan there in motion where he said, okay, you're going to lock my two up. I'm going to take the jailer. And I'm going to change his life forever. Not just his life,
His
whole household.
Right.
I'm going to give them a new wife. Because of two men's obedience, because of two men's willingness to stand up for God and not be ashamed of what God is telling us to do. Not be ashamed to stand up and say, this is wrong and this is right. Not be ashamed to say, sin is sin. Not just to conform to the world like they very easily could have done. And I'd say that these men, that they probably had those thoughts. You know, they're men just like we are. You know, and we think of those things. And, you know, when we try to put, and myself a lot of times, I put these men on a pedestal a lot of times. And I probably shouldn't as much. But you think about it, they probably had some of the same thoughts, some of the same feelings that we have down here as we walk through this life now. They probably thought, man, if I just kept my mouth shut, we wouldn't have been in prison. And that was a thought that they could have had. You know, that was a thought that they could have had. If I'd have just kept my mouth shut, we wouldn't have been in prison. They could have sat in the corner over there and sulked the entire time they were there. Like we do. Like we do as Christians when something don't go our way. When we don't get to hear the message that we want to hear sing or hear preached. Or when the song don't get sung that we got asked a request to sing. Or when we don't get the job that we wanted. Or when the bills don't get paid somehow that we thought mysteriously it should get paid. We sit and we sulk a lot of times. And we worry. We get concerned about what everything else is.
Yeah.
Knowing that God's got a plan for us in the long run. But we want it our way. We want it our way, not God's way. But it said, but at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. So not only did the jailer hear them, and it don't say nothing about the prisoners being saved there, but they heard the word of God too. They heard what God could do. So there was a seed planted in their lives as well by two men being faithful to God and doing what God had told them to do. Not being sad that they were locked up in a jail cell like many of us would do. I'll be honest with you, Tommy. If they was to come in right here and bust the door down now and say, you're going to jail for what you're standing up and preaching tonight, I'd probably get in there and if I sat in there for more than a day or so, I'd probably get mad. I'd probably be concerned about why am I sitting here. Lord, I was trying to do your work. I was trying to do the things that you wanted me to do. Yet I'm sitting here and locked up in prison.
Yeah.
They could have very easily done that. And we very easily do that a lot of times. We get in our own prisons. And it may not be an actual cell that we're sitting in. But we get in our own prisons. We put ourselves in situations sometimes that we ought not be in.
Amen.
And when we get in those, we're constantly asking, God, why'd you put me here? Why'd you do this to me? Why did you let me get here?
God help me.
But it said, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were broken loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, and drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. See, that earthquake wasn't for Paul and Silas to get free. That earthquake, well, it was. I'm not sure. It was for them to get free. But if God had intended in them on releasing them, it wouldn't have woke anybody else up. They'd have just fell off and been scot-free and they'd been good to go and nobody would even seen a thing.
Yeah.
Like Peter.
Yeah.
When Peter was in prison, he got all that happened with him. Yeah. He got out and without us, nobody even really seeing him. But this is not the situation here.
Right.
Everybody heard the earthquake.
Right.
Everybody's bonds were loosed. Everybody was still in prison. And the guard wakes up and says, oh no, what am I going to do? You know, they put me in charge of this man, these two men, and they've done run off. They've done run off, and I'm going to lose my life, so I'm just going to go ahead and take it. But Paul hollered out to him and said, hey, wait just a minute, wait just a minute. We're still here. We got something for you. There's something that we can offer you. And that's the way we are as Christians. We've got something to offer this world out here. We've got something that we can show them out there.
Amen.
We may go through hard times, and it's like you was talking about Bill a few minutes ago. He may very well be laying up there in a hospital for somebody. We don't know what God's plans are sometimes. We like to think that we do. We like to think that we know more than God does. But ain't you glad that you don't?
Amen.
Because I would mess things up royally all the time. I would have my things that I wanted may not always coincide with the things that Tommy wanted or Justin wanted or even my wife wanted. If I always got my way, why would I need God?
Right.
And that's what we have to realize is we have to go through struggles. We have to go through trials. But even in those struggles and even in those trials, we should lift up the name of Jesus. We should be content in the situation that we're in. Because like you, brother, said, even though knowing that my last breath may be coming to an end, I may be going there, yet I can still glorify God just a little bit more.
Amen.
I can still glorify His name just a little bit more for what He's done for me.
Yes.
And if I can tell one more person, Amen. If it had just been one more person that I could tell, it would have been worth it. Amen. Just like the old psalmist, if one more person was to walk down the aisle, it would be worth it. If we never see any, if we see one more person before Jesus comes back, it would be worth it. And now, don't get me wrong, there's a world that needs to repent. There's a world that needs salvation. But how are they going to see it unless they see Christ in us?
Amen. Amen.
It's not the world's fault. It's not the sinner's fault that the world's in the shape that it's in. The sinners didn't turn their back on God. God set up us a law for us to live by. He gave us commandments and ways that we ought to live. He put rulers in place and kings in place that we are to live His ways. And we've corrupted those ways. So yet we fell away from God. We've let things come in our... We've let the Ten Commandments we took out of our church, out of our courthouses. We've allowed prayer out of school. We allow all these things to happen. That's not the sinner's fault.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're missing.
Yeah.
But that's our fault. That's the church's fault. That's a Christian's fault. Is that we don't stand up for what we believe in. And when we don't stand up for what we believe in, we get overthrown a lot of times. But we'll also see right here, when we stand up and when we do exactly what God tells us to do, not our way, not the things that we want to do, God makes a way. God will provide. And it said, but Paul cried with a loud voice saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? He asked them that because he knew who they were singing about. He knew what was going on in their hearts. He knew that there was a peace in them like there was no other peace in the world. He knew that they were content where they were at because they had somebody living on the inside of them that give them peace to know that they can get through the situations that they're in. Just like we have that same peace that they can have. We have the same things that they had back then. We just have to utilize it. We have to get to a spot where we're okay to be God's mouthpiece. We're okay to let people not like us. We're okay as long as we do it in God's way. Now, I'm not telling you to go out here and just tell everybody that they're dying and going to hell and all that. You know, I'm telling you, you do it the way God tells you to do it. You show love. You show your brothers and sisters love. You show them what God's done for you.
Amen.
There's many of people I had, I couldn't count the number of friends that I had that I no longer have anymore. Because my life has changed and I don't do those same things. But yet they know. They may not see me on the regular. They may run into me at Walmart or wherever here and now. But they know that there's something different in there. That same guy is not the same guy that used to be. They know that there's been a change made.
Amen.
And that's what this jailer knew. He said, hey, I want some of what they got. What they got, I want that peace. I want that comfort. And knowing that no matter what the situation, I'm content. I'm happy. I'm going to praise God no matter where I'm at. He wanted that. And all he had to do was ask for it.
Yeah.
That's what the world had. Like you said, we talk about a revival. All the world has to do is ask for it. All we have to do is ask for it. Like we said, there's a song that it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now.
That's right.
I can't wait on Tommy to start a revival. I can't wait on Justin or my wife or Steve or where. I can't wait on anybody else to start a revival. If I want a revival, I have to revive myself. Yep. I have to get myself right with God every single day. Yep. And I have to crucify this flesh. And I have to allow things to pass away. I have to quit doing some of the things that I used to like to do. I have to let these things pass away. And I have to be more concerned about what God's will is for my life. If God's will for my life will line up with everything else. When I let God's will in my life lead me, all other things will fall into place. And it may not be as easy as I want it to be. It may be difficult here sometimes. I may have to go through some troubles. I may have to go through some trials. I may have to sit in the jail cell. I may have to sit in an emergency room. I may have to sit in the hospital. I may get sick and have to sit at home for 2 weeks. But as long as God's will's in it, and I'm content with that, then somebody may see the glory of God in that.
Yeah.
Somebody may see, hey, there's a peace in his life because he's got something that I don't have.
Yeah.
And that's what they're looking for. Everybody can say, well, the world's looking for something. And I say that for myself because I know when I was lost, when I was living a hellish life, I was never satisfied. I was always chasing that next drink, chasing that next high, chasing whatever I thought could fill that void in my life. Yeah. There was nothing ever good enough. Nothing was ever good enough to sustain me, to make me happy for long. You know, it would work for a little while. I'd be happy. I'd be content. I'd go out and buy this or buy that. And I'd be content for a little while. I'd think, all right, this is exactly what I needed. And I needed it. Give it a couple weeks and the new wears off.
Yeah.
And you're right back in the same shape that you was in. You're constantly looking for something. You're looking for something to fill you up, to make you feel like you belong. Well, then the day that I got saved, there's something moved into me that made me feel like I belonged. There's something that's more than satisfies my soul. There's something that more than gives me courage. There's something that more than gives me peace.
Amen.
And there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. You know the greatest thing about it, Tommy? You can't take it from me.
Right.
You can't take it. There ain't nobody in this world can take what God give me.
Amen.
That's the greatest gift that I've ever received, that I ever will receive. It may get buried down under there under weight and under sin and under things sometimes, but all I got to do is just take a rag and clean it off and that light will shine just as bright as it did the day that I got saved. But we have to be willing. Willing to face what comes. Like I said, there's tough times coming. And we don't see it right here. And it's like, I don't remember if it was in the revival we said it or where. They're over in China right now, hiding, talking about Jesus. Because they're being executed for standing up for what they believe. We don't face any of that yet. We don't have it that bad yet. So what's our excuse? You know, why are we not out on the mission field? Why are we not out doing more for God? Oh, me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm guilty. I'm not saying you all. I'm saying me.
Yep.
I said, and sirs brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine household, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I can't think of nothing better. I've got one that's coming up and trying to get to the age of accountability. But I can't think of nothing better than sitting in my house with my family, knowing that we're all going to be together in heaven. There's nothing I want more than to have those things. And that should be our every one of our desire. It don't just matter about our immediate family. It don't just matter about my family. It should matter about your family and your family and your family. Because I know what it did for me. I know what a change it made in my life. And if it can save me and change me, I know what it can do for the world out there.
Amen.
I know what it can do, and I know what it wants to do. God's not sitting idly by. He's going to get His word out one way or another. But ain't you glad that when you do what God would have you do, there's a reward for you? And not that we need to be rewarded. Don't get me wrong with that. He came, He died for me. That's the biggest reward that I could ever get. That's more than what I'll ever need. But usually when you do something for Him, He blesses you. So we gotta not be ashamed of what God's done for us.
Amen.
We gotta go out to the battlefield. We gotta go out and be ready to face what comes.
Yeah.
You know, I know we're in a pandemic, and I know if people are scared of it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. I get that. That's what we was talking before. I understand people are scared. I get it. And I'm not saying that we go out here and just go crazy, and we can telephone poles and all that stuff. We use common sense. God gives us those things. God gives us a way and gives us the knowledge to handle these things.
Yeah.
But if we can come together, that revival will come together.
Yeah.
People talk about those things. They're saying, hey, and get me wrong, if you need to wear a mask to come to church,
yeah,
wear a mask. You ain't going to hurt my feelings. That's you ain't right. going to bother me one bit.
Right.
But if that's what it takes to get you back in the house of God, then come on.
Amen.
You don't need to live in fear.
Right.
You don't need to be concerned about what may happen. God knows. God's got us in the palm of His hand. He knows what's going to happen to me before I take my next breath.
Yes.
He knows what He's got set before me. Right. He knows when I'm going to obey Him.
Yeah.
And I want to obey Him. I want to do what He has set for me to do. Not only because I deserve to do it for Him. I don't like when I don't do what He tells me.
Yeah.
I don't like getting whooped. I don't like getting whipped.
Yeah.
It's not fun. But God wants us to be that example for Him. He wants us to shine His light into this world. That's what we're left here for. I firmly believe that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for nothing else, if He didn't leave us here to be a light to one another, He would have taken me the day that He saved me.
Yeah.
There would have been no purpose for me to be here. But He left me here. Why? So that I might bring somebody with me.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to be somebody that can bring somebody with them.
Amen.
You know, you don't want... Don't misunderstand me. I'm not going to need somebody to go to heaven. I don't need Tommy to walk beside me or Justin to walk beside me. But wouldn't it be good if you walk hand... And I know we'll all give our individual accounts. But this is just the way my mind's thinking. Wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be nice to walk hand in hand with your brothers and sisters, with your wife, with your kids? Wouldn't it be nice to walk up to the gates that way and say, we made it. We made it. Because of His grace, we made it.
Yeah.
So we should do whatever it takes to get somebody to Jesus.
Amen.
We should do whatever it takes to do what we need to do.
Amen.
It may not be easy. It may not be the funnest thing that we have to do. I guarantee you, Paul and Silas, that was probably not the cleanest place they'd ever been.
That's right.
They did it because they were willing to.
Amen.
And them being willing to saved a household.
That sure is.
Yeah.
So we have to be willing. We have to be ready and able to do what God would have us to do. And again, I'll be the first one to tell you, I fail there miserably.
Yeah.
Many times. Many times a day, Tommy, do I not do what God would tell me to do.
Yeah.
And I have to repent for those things.
That's right.
But I'm glad that He gives me the opportunity. I'm glad that He sets me, that He picks me up and dusts me off and say, hey, here you are. He don't hold it against me. He don't say, hey, you remember what you did 2 weeks ago? He don't bring it up. We bring it up on ourselves a lot of times. We wallow in our own self-pity. We do something wrong, and don't get me wrong. When we do bad, we ought to think of what we did. You know, I always heard that growing up. Go stand in a corner and think about what you did. You know, that's the way that we need to be with God sometimes. But then we think about it. We don't need to just keep wallowing in it. He forgive us. Let's get up. Let's move forward. Let's get back on path.
Amen.
Let's get back on the right road.
Right.
Let's get back to leading people to Jesus. Not that we can do anything. It's not about us. It's all about Him.
Yeah.
But we have to be willing to do what He has us to do. Amen. We have to be willing to do His work. We have to be willing to put in the miles, put in the work, put in the hours. It's not always easy. It's not always that I don't always want to pick up my Bible and read. There's many days I want to come home and sit down in my recliner and turn the TV on and watch the news. But I have to kill that sometimes. I have to get this in check. And if we'll do that and allow God to use us, we could see a nationwide revival. We could see a revival start in our church. If we start in our church, then we can see one reach out to our community. We go to our community, we can see our state. And then from so on and so on. We can see those things happen. We're not too far gone. You know, you read in the Bible, there's many times where God said, okay, that's it. I'm going to do this. But then they repented and got right back on God's path. That's all we have to do as America is repent. And stop living these ways that we're living. Stop legalizing sin the way that we do. And God will bless us again. He's not going to bless us over sin. But if we'll turn back to Him, we can see the greatest nation. We can see the greatest time in history. We can see thousands upon millions of souls saved, ready to go to heaven. And I don't want to give up on that yet, Tommy. I don't want to just throw in the book and say, it's all over with. Everybody else is doomed and headed for hell. I don't want that because there's people that I care about. There's people that I love that I want to bring with me, that I want to see in heaven someday. And I'd like for them to be able to say, hey, you know, you had a part in helping me. You had a part in being a witness to me. What greater joy would that be? What greater gift could we give someone as Christians to be a light to somebody that they remember that for the rest of their life? What Tommy did for me that day or what Justin did for me that day. They'll never forget that. And if we show them God's love, that's what they'll see.
Amen.
Come on, Tommy.
Amen.
Appreciate the reminder. The Bible said that he that wins souls is wise. The purpose that Jesus came for was not to heal the sick and to raise the... It was to save those that would believe. Now, if that was his mission, then the mission in us ought to be every day as we go to work, as we go to school, as we do whatever we do, to live in a way that others see Jesus. Now, we have a choice to make. Right, I appreciate the message.
Amen.
It is a solemn reminder that every day is a responsibility that we have to take serious and lift up Christ. Will it cost you? Yes. And that was the point. Paul knew it was going to cost him. But when it came to that point, he did just exactly what God told him to do, and he cast that devil out. And then started the rest of it. But that led him into the place to where God wanted him to be. And that was to share him with that jailer. And then his house. And then a church started in Philippi. With Lydia and all of them. There was a church that was born. Because he was willing to do his part. We have to. It's a hard choice, right? I mean, we say it's easy. I'm going to live for Jesus. Until you're staring down the barrel of the enemy. But now's when we decide. Right? You can't wait till you're looking down the barrel of it to make up your mind. Now's when you make up your mind. That sink or swim, live or die, free or in bonds, I am going to lift up Jesus. Thank God for His Word. Thank God for His Word. I hope we'll all take it and let it just resonate in our own hearts and minds, reminding us of the responsibility that we have to share Christ. You've done said enough. But I'll say this and then we'll close. People say, well, I don't want to say anything unless the Spirit bids me. You know, if you're not careful, you'll never say anything, waiting on the Spirit to bid you. According to this, the Spirit has already bid us. The bidding has already been made. Jesus said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. What more bidding are you waiting on? Right? Like my dad likes to say, a lightning bolt in your back pocket. Is that what you're... That's not what we're waiting on. We have the mandate to go into the world, into the highways and the hedges, and make disciples of men. We've already been given His truth. The question is, will we do it? Appreciate the preacher. Thank God for the message.